From the KEI Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, the story of a teenage composer with Asperger's and the national award he just won. First, our top news story, the relationship between African Americans and police. In Austin today, legislators gathered for a hearing focused on Sandra Bland's death. Bland, who's black, was arrested during a traffic stop. 3 days later, she was found dead in her cell. Authorities called it an apparent suicide. Today, the Texas House Committee on County Affairs questioned members of the Commission on Jail Standards, as well as law enforcement officials. Representative Jonathan Strickland, a Republican from Bedford, expressed frustration that the deputy who arrested Bland is on administrative leave and still collecting a salary.
I understand there's an investigation, but for a lot of people, it's pretty cut and dry what happened. And that is that someone's liberties were stomped upon.
Representative Gene Wu, a Houston Democrat, said it's, quote, abhorrent that jail is the only option for people who can't afford to pay a fine.
Our jails have sort of become the modern debtor's prisons that we have. And I've known people who were on probation. They've done everything that was on their probation list, but they couldn't pay their fines because either they could feed their family, keep a roof over their head, or they can pay the fines.
Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked to a panel of African Americans living in North Texas about these issues. Producer Stephen Becker has a recap.
A question that's been asked a lot recently is, if Sandra Bland or Samuel DuBose or Eric Garner had not questioned the authorities who stopped them, would they be alive today?
Out of context, you can make the assertion that if this person only complied or wasn't talking back to an officer, then things would have de-escalated. And in the Sandra Bland case, she would have only gotten a ticket.
That's Christopher Blay, a Fort Worth artist and curator.
But in historical context of the way African Americans have been treated by police in America, it's a violent past.
That past is on Meredith Clark's mind when she's on the road. The UNT journalism professor has been pulled over 4 times in the last year. Legit stops, she says, for a faulty taillight.
I wonder what it would be like if I were pulled over by an officer and hazard to question why I was being pulled over. I really try to avoid conflict because I never want that interaction to escalate any further in the way that it did with Sandra Bland's case.
A reason these interactions turn bad is that, almost by definition, the citizen and officer start out in conflict. Cheryl Wilson is the police chief in Lancaster.
It's natural that if you get stopped or you think you're going to get a ticket, that the person's going to be a little upset. And what I tell my officers is, you're in control by your mere presence. All the other going back and forth, having a negative interaction, does not solve the problem. It escalates the problem.
Blay says the real problem is a double standard that exists and how people from different backgrounds are allowed to interact with police.
It's this idea that black people need to stay in their place, especially in front of an officer. And it would be okay if that was the case for everyone, but it's not the case for everyone. Some people in our society almost have that as an unwritten privilege to be able to talk back to police like that. But largely when African Americans do the same thing, the situation is looked at as a tinder for escalation.
And as video after video has shown lately, it's a lot easier to start a fire than to put one out. Stephen Becker, KERA News.
Think rears tonight at 9, or listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. Quinn Mason's been writing music for more than half his life, and he's only 19. It's been a life of challenges. He grew up the son of a single mom in a tough Dallas neighborhood, and he has Asperger's syndrome. KERA's Bill Zeeble reports Quinn just got back from winning a national composition contest.
This is the Masonian Rondo, a 9-minute brass quartet Quinn Mason wrote 2 years ago. This past year, the North Dallas High senior wanted to enter something in the first-ever Next Note student contest from the American Composers Forum. He needed something good and short that required few players. So he flipped through the pile of pieces he'd already written.
One of them was for 4 clarinets, but I thought it was beyond impossible, so I didn't pick that. I looked at a piece for 3 double basses. It looked beyond impossible, so I didn't pick that. A fanfare for 4 trombones. It was too short.
Quinn entered his self-titled Rondo.
It was fun. It kept people's attention. I got my point out. I was trying to make people laugh, but no one laughed at the concert. But can't say I didn't try.
Quinn beat the odds, becoming one of six winners out of 141 applicants from 35 states. Late last month, he flew to Minnesota for a weekend with top composers, professional performers, and a scholarship check. Susanna Altman, education director with the Composers Forum in Minnesota, says what stands out is his musical ear.
I don't think I've ever met anyone with an ear quite like Quinn's. And Quinn is pretty unique among his peers in that he is someone who has really studied the canon of classical music and studies instruments to a degree that I think goes beyond many working professional composers.
Quinn's teachers point to his amazing ability to hear complex music, then recreate all the notes in the right key at the piano or on paper. He started doing it when he was 10, like a certain 18th century Austrian phenom.
He's able to hear a symphony by Beethoven or Brahms, and he's able to notate some things completely by ear. So I think he has a kind of a Mozartian flash there that he's going to be able to develop and work with.
First, says Quinn's teacher at Richland College, Derek Lagozzo, comes practice. Quinn's taking summer classes and will start at Richland this fall. He'll be the first of his family to attend college.
His ability to hear in his inner ear is way beyond his current development of playing percussion. So we're just going to work on getting him to a really great college level to match that.
Rogene Russell believes Quinn will make it. When the professional oboist brought music appreciation to Quinn's fifth grade class, the kid already knew every recording she played. A founder of Dallas's Fine Arts Chamber Players, Russell helped get him instrument and composition lessons. She says both would have been out of reach for his mom.
He has a passion and drive that I have really never seen in a person his age. We never had to inspire him. He inspired us.
Quinn's on a mission. He fell in love with classical music when he was 8 and hasn't looked back, despite others urging him to play rap or pop music.
And I didn't understand that because I at this point, I've been in classical music for about half my life, so I'm just kind of like, what are you talking about? But yeah, people are like, why don't you like rap music? Like, it doesn't speak to me.
Tchaikovsky, Ravel, Stravinsky, they speak to him. He wants to do what they did, but in his own voice. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
Evening brings us partly cloudy skies, 20% chance for showers with a low around 78. Tomorrow, also partly cloudy, 30% chance of rain with a high near 100. It's currently 102 in Dallas, 103 in Fort Worth, 102 in Tyler, and 100 in Wichita Falls. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.